You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
At 304, welcome in to the gym class here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City, on the stream at KGYMradio.com, on the free to download app for your smartphone, also on your smart speaker device. Spencer Wagon in for Scott Unash one more time this week. Scott will be back tomorrow. If you are missing Scott's voice and you are sick of mine, you only have 24 hours or so to wait. Mark Duke's joining me here in just a moment on the gym class. Got a busy show for you today, but first we tell you at the show brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Going to get into the world of Hawkeye news. Of course, we have the NBA draft coming up on Thursday night. Keegan Murray sure to hear his name called in the first 10 picks or so. That could be the first five picks for Thursday night's draft. We'll chat with David Eicholt from 24/7 Sports about that. Also, the news we talked about yesterday with Caden Proctor, top target of, two teams, the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Alabama Crimson Tide. We'll get David's insight on that and what looks to be a pretty big recruiting weekend for Iowa football. We'll talk with him coming up just after 3:30. Got plenty of sports news to get to some baseball news, some football news and notes. And Mark, we have another defection to the LIV Tour to get to as well today. How's it going today?
Going well, Spencer. And while we miss Scott Unash, we never get tired of your voice, dude. Come on.
That's good to hear. I hope people don't get tired of my voice.
Being Welcome the new in guy for the longest day of the year, also known as summer solstice.
It is.
Spencer, I don't like this day.
Why is that?
Because we know what follows.
It's true. Days start to get shorter, although our friends in the meteorological world will tell you it's incrementally shorter. But in a few short months, the sun will be down way too early. And then I will have my complaining season. So, brace yourselves. But I'm going to enjoy it while it's here, even though it is, what is it outside? 93 degrees outside. Not a fan, but I will enjoy it nonetheless.
Yep. And really interesting show, as you mentioned, with David Eicholt, defections on the LIV Tour and adjustments perhaps being made by the PGA Tour and smattering of other items. MLB All-Star voting is out, and we can dive in wherever you want.
Let's start with baseball, because I briefly had some brief time to touch on baseball at the end of Spencer on Sports, but I mentioned the results from last night. And something we talked about yesterday, Mark, was the rather intriguing series that are taking place this week, the Brewers and Cardinals up in Milwaukee. And you've got Minnesota. I know you're going to be paying attention to that game against Cleveland tonight as they start up that series at Target Field. But the Brewers took game one last night, 2-0 over the Cardinals. Just a two-run home run from Tyrone Taylor. The difference there, Corbin Burns striking out 10, looking like Corbin Burns should after a human start to the 2022 season. But some intriguing stuff happening with this Minnesota and Cleveland series, because like we talked about yesterday, Mark, I don't think a lot of people saw Cleveland being the team we're talking about challenging for the division lead.
No, it's 8 games and about 10 or 11 days between these two ball clubs as well, and could very well create some separation, could result in, even Steven. We don't know. But many impactful series either continuing or getting underway tonight.
Yeah, there are some interesting ones, too, between not-so-common opponents. You have the Dodgers making their way to Cincinnati, so one of the best teams in baseball taking on one of the worst teams in baseball. You've got Washington and Baltimore, Detroit and Boston. Yankees and Tampa Bay continue their series. A stat I shared earlier was that since sweeping the Cardinals, Mark, back in the 7th through the 9th of this month. The Rays, and I know they've had a bunch of injuries, but the Rays are just 2-8. So a team that a lot of people thought would be contending for a division and maybe even contending for another World Series has fallen on some hard times, and the Yankees continue to be the class of baseball so far here in the first half.
Yeah, most teams are going to go through a stretch like that, except maybe the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, 50 wins in 65 games?
Something along those lines.
Incredible start. Incredible start for the Yankees, and I can't really see it letting up anytime soon.
No, you certainly can. They got Tampa again tonight. Nestor Cortez has been a great start, or has had a great start to the year. He's going tonight for the Yankees in that one. You got the Braves taking on the Giants. The Mets and Houston, two sneaky good teams. The Mets, one of the best teams in the NL, taking on a Houston team that's seized control in that American League West. And, of course, the White Sox are at home. They got a win last night beating Toronto. We know how good Toronto is, too. So lots of things to look forward to. I know some people, you know, who are – they're probably baseball fans, but, you know, they maybe find it a little bit boring to sit and talk about baseball every day during the summer months. At least there's some intrigue here this week.
Well, fans are participating in the All-Star vote as we speak, and that lasts through June 30th, at least the first phase of fan voting, kind of an elimination round, as it were. And we know the first results rolled out today.
Yeah, let's roll through these some interesting vote getters in each league. In the National League, your leading catcher, soon maybe to be on the trade block, Wilson Contreras of the Chicago Cubs, just over 800,000 votes to lead the National League as of today for the catcher position. First baseman, no surprise, sizable lead for Paul Goldschmidt. He's had a fantastic season for the Cardinals, of course, tied, are now a game behind the Brewers in the division, but seeing a resurgence there. Second baseman, number one vote getter is Jazz Chisholm for the Marlins. Marlins, see, they're an up and down team, not the best team, but certainly one of the young stars there. Number two vote getter won't be able to play because he broke his foot, Ozzie Albies at second base in the National League. Third base, Manny Machado, no surprise, having an MVP-caliber season. He's the number one vote-getter, a big lead over Nolan Arenado at second place. Shortstop, Trey Turner of the Dodgers in first place. DH, Bryce Harper of the Phillies with over a million votes, number one there. And your top three outfielders, Mookie Betts, Ronald Acuna Jr. from the Braves, and Jock Peterson. Hopefully nobody deals with a fantasy football beef at the All-Star game. But Jock Peterson, number three on the outfield list for the National League.
Yeah, I think one takeaway there, and it's a long ways to go in the voting. And the second phase is actually to determine the starters. You mentioned Paul Goldschmidt of the Cardinals, and no question he's had a fantastic career. Pete Alonso, the Mets, has been had a monster year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Flip the coin.
Yeah, he really could. And Goldschmidt is leading 930,441 votes to 602,321 for Pete Alonso as of earlier today. The figures released by Major League Baseball. And even, you know, the number three and four, the third place and fourth place guys on the list, Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson of the Braves.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you pick your first baseman in the National League? Even some of the guys further down the list, like a C.J. Cron and Joey Votto has been having a good year despite the Reds' struggles. Eric Hosmer has too. Rowdy Tellez has had his moments. So, yeah, it's tough to pick. How do you pick a first baseman in that group of players? Same with third baseman. Austin Riley's had a fantastic year. Even a guy like Brandon Drury for the Reds. I mean, again, he plays for the Reds, so he's probably not going to get a ton of love from the baseball fans out there, but he's in sixth place. He's had a fantastic season as well. So a lot of great players out there. Francisco Lindor, too, he's in third place behind Trey Turner and Dansby Swanson at short. How do you pick? All these guys have had great years.
Well, all those guys are going to make the All-Star team. It's just a matter of who starts. And, you know, at third base, it's hard to go wrong with Machado, even Arenado for the Cardinals. But a lot of very good players in baseball, and it'll sort itself out. And some interesting things in the American League as well.
Yeah, your catcher is a guy who was not on the radar of a lot of players, or a lot of fans, I should say, in the last year or so. Alejandro Kirk, I believe he's a second-year player for Toronto. Over a million votes for Alejandro Kirk at catcher, leading by a sizable margin over Jose Trevino from the Yankees, Salvi Perez in third from the Royals. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., your leading first baseman, ahead of a guy who's had a great season so far, too. Ty France from the Mariners. The Twins' Luis Arraez, Mark, is number four on the first baseman list for the All-Star balloting so far. Jose Altuve, first and leading the second baseman voting. Rafael Devers, a narrow lead on Jose Ramirez from the Cleveland Guardians on the third base side of things. Shortstops, Bo Bichette, number one. Tim Anderson, number two. And then Xander Bogaerts, number three. DH, Yordan Alvarez, leading Shohei Ohtani there. And then in the outfield, Aaron Judge, no surprise there. Mike Trout, number two, and then George Springer from the Toronto Blue Jays, number three. So those are your leading vote-getters in the American League as well.
Let me throw this out, Spencer, and maybe it's too provincial on my part because I am a Twins fan. What about adding a category for utility? Because Arraez is not going to overtake those top three guys at first base. He has played, Arraez, that is, the majority of the season at first base, partly because Sano's been on the shelf. Miranda doesn't really move the needle. But Arraez has also played second base, third base, and in past years has played the outfield. He's going to be in the All-Star game. He's the leading hitter for average in Major League Baseball. I don't know. It seemed to be, you know, how do you establish the parameters of a utility player? But Arraez is one of those guys who would fit.
Yeah, he certainly would. There's something to be said about, you know, the quality of play for a guy that doesn't get a lot of recognition because he does so much on the field, and being in Minnesota, he's overshadowed by a guy like Byron Buxton, but he's been crucial to the success for the Twins and them being in first place. So yeah, I think there's definitely a case to be made, there for Luis Arraez. Again, he's fourth in the first baseman voting behind Vlad Guerrero Jr., Ty France, and Anthony Rizzo, and has a sizable lead over Yuli Gurriel from the Houston Astros, who's currently in fifth on the first baseman voting. So it's going to be interesting how this voting plays out. Not the biggest story in the world, but it's always fun to see who fans are voting for, who fans are interested in seeing as an All-Star in the Midsummer Classic.
Yeah, and we shall see in the next week or 10 days how, if at all, these voting totals change. And then we get into the second phase where the voting is for the actual starters. So, you know, maybe somebody's second right now will end up being the starter in that second phase. I don't know.
And there's always the final vote where the players they select a handful of players for either side, I think it is, and then they get like a fan vote. There's always some campaigning. I remember the campaign back when I lived in Wisconsin. The We Believe in Jesus, to get Jesus Aguilar, now of the Miami Marlins, into the All-Star game, which it worked. He got in. And then he really didn't perform the same after getting into the All-Star game and the home run derby. So kind of you take the good with the bad, but be interested to see who gets that final vote. 319-366-1600, 0835 chiming in on the text line saying that the fans voting for the All-Star games, Mark, have always made it lose the intrigue for them. Fans vote for their favorites and not the guys who are actually deserving of it. Thanks you for that comment. 0835. I can see what you mean. I mean, you know, I do it. I stack the deck. I vote for guys from my favorite team and guys who I enjoy watching and following. You know, I mean, my favorite baseball player, I guess if you want to say, is Christian Yelich, and he's 19th on the outfielder voting. So is my vote going to matter in the end? Probably not. He might get an all-star nod anyways, just because, you know, of who he is and, you know, the Brewers needing an all-star. But I could see it both ways. I don't necessarily have a problem with the fans voting for it, and I don't think MLB would take that away, would they?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I remember going, I date back to those old punch tickets you got at the ballpark, and you punch out the hole and drop it in the box. And mm-hmm. fans have been participating in this vote for years. And yes, it becomes somewhat of a popularity contest, right? The fans have to be involved somehow. But I think the people that know better who should be all-stars are the managers, coaches, and players.
That is true. And they're allowed to vote.
And they're going
to
have a provincial attitude as well.
Yeah, I was going to say they have a vote in this when all is said and done too, don't they? The players I know have a player vote, don't they?
I believe so. I'd have to check further, but
319-366-1600 coming to you at 3:21 here on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the Gym Class. Spencer in for Scott, Mark joining me as well, and David Eichholt from 24/7 Sports joining us here coming up in about 9 minutes or so. We'll get to him after an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update and our first break of the afternoon. Mark, interesting stuff here, and we have another, as I hinted at the beginning of the show, another golfer that has defected to the LIV Tour from the PGA. It's Brooks Koepka now.
Yeah, indeed, and he's one of the bigger players, a two-time major champion, and that announcement has not been official as yet, I don't think, but it's all but given that Koepka is going to join the LIV Tour in addition to Abraham Answer. And today the PGA Tour conducted a players meeting with the commissioner, Jay Monahan, at which Monahan revealed his idea for a counter to the LIV Tour. Starting in fall of 2023, the PGA intends to add 8 events for top 50 players at a $20 million purse per event. So will this detour folks like Koepka and others? I mean, Koepka's going to get a signing bonus probably similar to Phil Mickelson and DeChambeau and others to join the LIV Tour, but PGA becoming a bit proactive today in that regard.
Yeah, you wonder, like you said, is this enough to deter other major name golfers from leaving the PGA ranks and joining LIV? You also wonder what that means for the 17, now I'm presuming 18, that have been banned from the PGA. Are they allowed back in with this new development that's coming up in fall 2023? I would guess the answer is probably no. And is it too little too late from the PGA's standpoint? Those are all questions that I would have with this news. So both stories coming out today.
Yeah, and the PGA Tour has not banned anyone from the tour until or if they
suspended.
Hit their first ball on the LIV Tour. And Brooks Koepka, for example, is entered in the Travelers Championship this week. The LIV's next tour event is the following week in Portland. So right now, Brooks Koepka, while he has expressed his intent to go to the LIV Tour, he has not yet hit a ball on that tour. And therefore, evidently, will be eligible to play in the Travelers this week.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, the ban might not be the word I was looking for. It was suspended, the word I was looking for. Of course, the PGA suspending 17 players, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, and others for competing in the inaugural LIV event outside of London. Like I said, the question stands. Now, what does this mean for those golfers? Are they going to be welcome back with conditions with this new thing that the PGA has announced, or at least that they say they're working on for the fall of 2023? Are they not welcome back at all? I think these things will all be played out, in the coming weeks, months, years, whatever it may be. But those are all interesting things that have yet to play out.
Yeah, that's what's called TBD, right?
Exactly.
Be determined.
Exactly. So that is the biggest news from the golf world here for today. Koepka 19th in the official world golf ranking. He, as you said, Mark, expected to compete in that Pumpkin Ridge tournament starting on the 30th, which is opposite of the John Deere Classic. So that is latest news there. LIV now has 8 of the top 50 players in the world, according to ESPN. And Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Reed both expected to compete in Portland as well. So number of big name golfers, big highly ranked golfers, are headed to the LIV. Already made their way to the LIV, including now again Brooks Koepka was first reported by the Telegraph of London. Not officially announced yet, but it's expected to be later on this week.
Yeah, likely tomorrow. Another name falls to the LIV Tour. And as we said, the PGA Tour trying to issue a preemptive strike with this idea of creating 8 events and beginning in the fall of 2023. Now, it's very aggressive, I think, on the PGA Tour's part, but what's interesting is these LIV players expect to play in the majors. And why should they not? Because the Masters is not run by the PGA Tour. The Open Championship is run by the Royal and Ancient. The PGA Championship is the PGA of America. So it remains to be seen what those major championships will do as well with these LIV players.
327, you're in tune with the Gym Class here on KGYM. Again, we've got David Eicholt from 24/7 Sports scheduled to join us coming up in about 3 minutes. We'll get to him in a few moments after our first break of the show. Before we get to that, let's get an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update with Mark.
Plenty on the scoreboard today. Sad news from the college basketball and pro basketball world. Former Purdue star Caleb Swanigan has died at the age of 25 of natural causes. Swanigan, the Big Ten Player of the Year in 2017. At the aforementioned Travelers Championship, which gets underway Thursday, Cedar Rapidity and Zach Johnson is in a premier group that will begin play at noon Central Time. He is paired with Scottie Scheffler, number one in the world, and Jordan Spieth. In football, Rob Gronkowski has retired for the second time, or at least until Tom Brady gives him a call. June 10th, the weekend of June 10th, 17 parents in the Central Iowa Youth League were ejected from the park for arguing with umpires. And the College World Series continues today, elimination day. Right now, Texas A&M leading Notre Dame 5-0 in the first of two. The nightcap is Arkansas and Auburn.
The SEC Invitational in Omaha. I think that's what they're going to have to rename it after this this week in Omaha. That is for sure. But they're considered the best conference in college baseball for a reason, and they are proving it world of college baseball this week. Big night talked about this in Spencer on Sports. Big night for Calvin Harris, the Iowa native, last night for Ole Miss against the Arkansas Razorbacks.
He hit that one to Epworth, didn't he?
I think he did. Sure. I think the stadium, does the stadium face east? He might actually, might
I don't know, but
for Epworth.
He crushed it. Home run for him and led Ole Miss to a victory over Arkansas.
He did. Razorback Dale has yet to chime in on the text line. I think he's probably not. Well, if he's listening, he's probably in mourning, hoping for better things against the Auburn Tigers tonight. We'll see. Coming up on 3:30, we've got David Eicholt joining us coming up here in just a bit. We'll get to him after this break. It's the Gym Class here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And a heat advisory is in effect as temperatures climb into the 90s. Heat index values will be in the triple digits for several hours this afternoon. Later on this afternoon, mainly after 4 or 5, we could see a few isolated thunderstorms that may produce some hail and gusty winds. Storms will wind down tonight. We'll have partly cloudy skies and temperatures in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, we'll have plenty of sunshine and temperatures in the mid-80s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Join us for the Linn County Fair, Wednesday through Sunday. Bring your friends and family and have some fun at the place where great memories are made. This Sunday is Military Appreciation Day, provided by USA Communications. To honor and thank our local military, all military personnel, current and past, get into that day's grandstand events for free. Be sure to check out the Freedom Rock at the fairground entrance when you visit. The donkey races kick off at noon with a fun family show sponsored by Z102.9 and Kettleson RV. Then grab a seat in the grandstand at 6 p.m. for Tough Trucks, sponsored by Roto-Rooter. For ticket information, go to thelinncountyfair.com. The fair is located in Central City, just 15 minutes north of Marion, Wednesday through Sunday with free daily parking. Sponsored by SPS Inc., Linn Newsletter, Iowa's News Now, CopyWorks, and MediaCom. Get all the details at thelinncountyfair.com and start your new family tradition at the Linn County Fair.
Good morning, boss.
What's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk.
You mean hope desk?
Hope desk.
I call and hope I get help, but they either stick me on hold or say I'll get a call back in a couple hours. We need help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, then you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
Get help now with IT Solutions. They continually monitor their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hope desk for you to call for your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you never just hope. You get help now.
We need to get our work done.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
The John Deere Classic is coming. With new dates June 29th through July 3rd, we have fabulous new ticket options, an all-new Youth Day, great benefits for our military, fun new experiences, and free parking for ticket holders. You heard me right. Plus, all the world-class action you know and love. So you'd better get in on the excitement. Visit JohnDeereClassic.com today for your spot to see magic happen here.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
And we're back at 3:33. Spencer Wagon in for Scott Unash as the Gym Class rolls on here on a Tuesday afternoon. Mark Dukes joining me as well as we take you up until 4 o'clock in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It might be the off season, but it is still a pretty busy week for University of Iowa sports news. Of course, with the NBA draft coming up, and got some recruiting news to talk about. Pleased to be joined by David Eicholt from 24/7 Sports to break it all down for us here on a Tuesday. David, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Let's start with the NBA draft. 2 days away now. Keegan Murray likely going to hear his name called within the first 6 to 10 picks of the draft. Can you put into words this this moment for not only the Murray family, but for Iowa basketball in general?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me on, guys. Always appreciate joining you. But, yeah, like you said, I think it's going to be a huge deal for the University of Iowa basketball program. I mean, you look at what they've done over the last few years and Fran McCaffrey, and you know, I get a lot of people are upset about lack of Sweet 16s, and rightfully so. But you look at the player development, you look at the national pedigree, you look at the uptick in scheduling. Iowa going to play Duke in Madison Square Garden next year. And I think, you know, without Luka Garza, without Keegan Murray, are those things happening? You know, we don't know. And I think for the Murray family, I mean, you go from having one offer from Western Illinois out of high school, Kenyon and, you know, his family doing everything they can to send Chris and Keegan to DME Academy down in Florida for that post-grad year, ended up being the best decision they've ever made in their life. I'm sure they would have had plenty more scholarship offers, but Iowa hopped on first. They committed a couple of days later. And then to see what, you know, Keegan did. I mean, you could argue Keegan Murray had the most complete season of any Iowa basketball player ever. And after watching Luka Garza for his final two seasons, that's definitely a pretty crazy thing to say. So I expect him to be the highest drafted Hawkeye in program history. I think there's a high chance he goes number four. I've heard rumblings that the Portland Trailblazers are going to do everything they can to trade up for that Sacramento Kings four pick, and I think they'll likely get Murray there. And, you know, who knows if the Pistons trade away Jeremy Grant, I think that Keegan might be able to reunite with Luka Garza in Detroit. But there's definitely a long list of suitors and a lot of people that I know would love to get their hands on Keegan Murray. And I've said this too. I think if he was a year or two younger, I really think he goes number one overall in the draft. I think he has the highest floor in the NBA draft. I think he's the safest pick. So it's going to be a very cool moment for the Murray family. And I think it's a moment that all of Iowa basketball, the program and fan base, should embrace.
Yeah, from what I can decipher, David, it looks like anywhere from maybe 3 to 6. And what we don't know is a trade comes along, as you mentioned, Portland trying to move up. I noticed your colleagues at 24/7 had Murray pegged at 5. You've nosed around quite a bit. What are your personal thoughts of where he goes?
I really think the Sacramento Kings might take him at number four, and I know a lot of people might not like that because you look at the history of the Sacramento Kings program. I've said that's where you start from being a king and you end up being a court jester because the franchise is a laughing stock since the days of Vlad Divac and PJ Stojakovic. But you look at the team makeup there, they got Davion Mitchell, they got De'Aaron Fox, they just traded for DeMontis Sabonis, and if you throw in Murray, I think that's a very formidable young, you know, quad that they got there. And, you know, who knows if they can end up making some noise. I personally believe that Keegan will go number 5 overall to the Detroit Pistons. Just that's where the most noise I have heard has been coming from. But it will not surprise me whatsoever if Keegan ends up going as high as number 4, either the Kings or, as I mentioned, the Trailblazers. And another team I would not sleep on, and I don't think there's even a remote chance that he slips to. I don't think he slips past number 6. I know the Indiana Pacers are big fans of his, and I think you look at Tyree, you know, you throw him in with Tyrese Halliburton with Murray. I think that is a fun young duo that they could have in Indiana, and I know they're all about Murray, but I don't think they expect him to slip to number 6.
Yeah, you've got that 4, 5, 6 range that all the mock drafts have seemingly had Keegan at since we've started talking about mock drafts, you know, late in 2021 and now throughout the college basketball season to where we are right now. Out of those three teams, you know, Sacramento, Detroit, Indiana, we talk about fit, but there's also situation, and you kind of alluded to it, David, with Sacramento, you know, not the best situation there, but, you know, I think for Keegan, he's probably going to be happy with any opportunity he gets. Fair to say, right?
No doubt. And I think that's the most important thing. You know, Keegan's such a versatile player that I really think it's hard not to find a good fit for him, right? I think with the way Detroit's roster makeup is right now with Sadiq Bey and Jeremy Grant, I think one of those two guys will have to go if they draft Keegan, just because I think that's too clogged up there. But you combine him with a Cade Cunningham, I think that's a lot of fun there. And obviously, it's a great storyline with him and Luka Garza. But I really think anywhere from that 4 to 6 range could work out because, again, I think Halliburton and Murray would be, you know, a showtime or at least a mini box office type thing for Indiana. Just say you have a fun young duo that can go do some damage. But, again, you really look at what the Sacramento Kings could be. I think if they had a competent ownership or competent coaching staff with some of the young talent they got there, I think Murray's, you know, ceiling could be achieved with Sacramento. But I think if you ask Keegan, you ask everybody else, I think Keegan would be more than content just playing starters minutes and playing on the winning team rather than being the superstar on a team that really isn't going anywhere.
Well, to complete the discussion on the Murrays, your thoughts on Chris Murray deciding to return? It sounded like he wanted to hear some kind of guarantee of a first-round pick. Your thoughts on Chris Murray returning to Iowa?
I think it was a great move. And, you know, I know a lot of people when Chris entered the NBA draft process, they kind of not laughed at, but they kind of scoffed at it and assumed, yeah, you know, he's going to be back. But this was a very difficult decision for Chris. I mean, you talk about a guy, again, 6'8". Is a better shooter than Keegan by even most of his teammates. And I think Keegan himself has really said that too. Again, you throw him in a G League system, yet he has a twin brother going top five, top six in the draft. And he shot well in workouts. Just because he skipped the combine didn't mean that teams didn't want him. But I talked to Kenyon Murray about Chris's decision to skip it, and he said, look, you look at the way the combine is set up, especially in scrimmages, it's a guard ball hog. It's a street ball game. I mean, it is, you know. And he said once the GMs or the scouts have an idea of who you are, it's very difficult to change their mind. So I thought that was an excellent decision by them. I think if Chris comes back, averages 18 points, 7.5 rebounds, blocks shots, 40% from three-point range, I think you're looking at a lottery pick or at worst a top 20 pick next season, because I think he's really starting to unlock that next confidence. I think, for example, Keegan was always such a good player, even as a freshman. But the biggest change I saw in him from that first to second year is he truly believed mentally that he was the best player on the floor. He went out and showed that every night. And I think if Chris takes that similar step, he can take that similar step to his brother and sort of craft his own individual story.
David Eicholt from 24/7 Sports joining us here on the Gym Class. David, a question actually on the text line, 319-366-1600. What the folks over at 24/7 are saying when it comes to trade rumors. You mentioned Portland a possibility, but 0835 asking about the possibility of Phoenix maybe trading up into the top 10, maybe the top 8, and possibly being a fit for Keegan Murray. I don't think necessarily Keegan would be on the board if Phoenix were to get into that window, would they?
No, I don't think so. But, you know, a bright side for teams that are, you know, winning formula teams and have been proven is I think when you look across the board of this year's NBA draft and you talk to a lot of the scouts, you talk to a lot of the insiders, there's not a lot of people that believe that this is a very deep draft. They think outside the top three or top four, you're only getting good role players. And I think Keegan's taken that slight personally because I think you look at Jaden Ivey, I think he'd be very good, but, you know, he couldn't stop me from scoring 20 points, right? You got Paolo Banchero. You got Chet Holmgren, who's kind of a mystery. Then you got Jabari Smith, who I think could be a really, really good player if he just figures out both ends of the floor. So I don't know if Phoenix will want to give up enough to get up in that range to sort of secure Keegan. And based on all accounts from Keegan's interviews, his workouts and everything, I think they know they're going to get consummate professionals. So, I mean, I will be – not a lot genuinely shocks me. If Keegan slips past number 6, I will be genuinely shocked. So if Phoenix or another winning playoff caliber team want to do that, I really think that they're going to have to trade up into that top 5, top 6 sort of range.
David, you pointed out this is a huge weekend for Iowa football recruiting. Many prospects will be on campus, none other than Caden Proctor, who has announced he is down to Iowa and Alabama. Let's focus on him for a minute. Impossible to get inside these kids' heads. Obviously, his former teammate at Southeast Polk, Xavier Wampa, is on the Iowa squad. I don't know how tight they are. What do you think this comes down to?
You know, I know when people are starting to panic when Caden Proctor announced his first real official visit schedule didn't include Iowa. People wondered if Iowa was out of it. I told people to relax. He's been to Iowa so many times, right? But look, him and Xavier Wampa are very, very close. I think that Caden almost looks up to Xavier to some extent. And I really think Iowa has a very great chance of landing Proctor. Our 24/7 Sports crystal ball, which predicts where prospects are going to go, it's on Iowa right now. And I think Alabama definitely opened his eyes. And I think if there's one school that Iowa fans could stomach losing Proctor to, it's Alabama, because what can you really argue against Alabama, right? But I think Iowa's done a great job here. He's tight with a lot of the current teammates. He's been to Iowa so many times. Iowa was in on him early in the process. I think Iowa has a great shot at giving him a good NIL deal, especially being a hometown kid. I think if he goes to Bama, he's going to have to prove it more. Iowa has a great track record for offensive linemen. So, I mean, if you had to ask me, I don't know when Caden's going to make a decision. It could come shortly after his official visit this weekend. It could come in a few weeks, maybe in the fall if he wants to visit Tuscaloosa for a game and Iowa another game. But at this point, to my knowledge, I would give Iowa a 70% chance to land Caden Proctor. I really think that they're the leaders in the clubhouse still. I think if Iowa blows him out of the water during this weekend's big official visit, I really think that they have a good shot at landing him. Again, I don't know how soon he'll end his decision-making process, but I think nobody can criticize Iowa for not going the full court press here. I think they've done a tremendous job to this point.
Well, you bring up a good point because you see Iowa and you stack it up against Alabama where they have a ring on seemingly every finger on the hand. You know, a lot of people all of a sudden, oh, well, you know, it's Ross Pierce-Baker again, and Mark and I talked about that yesterday. But you made the point there, David. Iowa has a lot to offer. And you know, you don't have to look any farther than Xavier Wampa to see that Iowa can stack up against these big time programs and keep recruits at home, right?
No question. I think, again, when you look at the way Iowa's offensive line tradition, I mean, I think you stack it up against anybody. I think Tristan Wirfs is going to be the highest paid offensive tackle when his contract's up with based on what he's been doing in the league. I think Tyler Linderbaum could be a top five center in the league right away. Then you look at Brandon Scherf. And, you know, Caden Proctor, his idols, Tristan Wirfs, they have a very good relationship. Obviously, the physical similarities and the look of them, a lot of people have compared the two. But Proctor wants to craft his own story. But, again, I think if he comes to Iowa, he's the most popular second or third or fourth stringer from the second he arrives on campus, right? Because Iowa's offensive line, especially at tackle, I think they have a lot of talent. And you still got to kind of break that mold. But Proctor's a special talent. Because of Bama, he's going to have to be a first stringer to really get some good NIL money. But again, I think Iowa's doing a good job adjusting to that. I think he has a lot of great relationships. I think there's a certain sense of hometown pride. And I think, you know, I've always said this about recruiting. Dudes recruit dudes. We saw what happened when Xavier Wampa committed. Iowa ended up landing a couple other big-time defensive back prospects. And if Iowa lands a five-star in Caden Proctor, they have a four-star quarterback in Marco Lina as the third. Dudes want to play with dudes. They want to play with ballers. And if you get a guy like Caden Proctor, who knows what sort of a ripple effect that could have into not just the 2023 class, but going forward as well.
Aside from Proctor, why is it a big weekend for Iowa football?
Yeah, I think they have a number of their top targets on campus. They have a lot of their commits. Like I said, Marco Linez, the fourth, is on campus. A lot of in-state commits are there. Ben Cooter's officially visiting. You look at Jaron Tibbs is down to Iowa and Purdue, a big X receiver. And I think that, Iowa's in the midst of him. And if you want some breaking news as well, Iowa just landed a commitment as of 2 minutes ago from Gilman, Illinois, offensive lineman Cannon Leonard, 6'9", 315-pounder. That happened as of 2 minutes ago. I will retweet that on my Twitter. But, again, Iowa's top targets are on the board. Zach Ortworth, big-time tight end prospect coming in as well. Chris Tarrick, who has offers from Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, is visiting. A big offensive line haul could be coming in. Kendrick Gilbert, big four-star defensive ends coming in. Austin Newsome, big-time linebacker in-state coming as well. And then Khalil Tate, who is down to Illinois, Wisconsin, and Iowa as a defensive back prospect, is also coming in. So a lot of top targets. Hawkeye Insider will be all over it. But I would not be surprised if next week Iowa lands about four commits in that 2023 recruiting class.
Excellent, David. Good stuff as always. Thanks for the time, and have a great rest of the week.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Take care.
David Eicholt joining us from 24/7 Sports. Always does a great job. And just scrolling through his Twitter account, Mark, he's got everything covered, including, did you say 6'9" offensive linemen? I mean, my ears perked up here in the studio with that recruit news that he just mentioned. That's a big boy.
That's a big man. And, of course, Iowa also signed a commitment from a point guard yesterday in Brock Harding out of Moline, Illinois. Not a big guy, but impressed Fran McCaffrey enough to receive a scholarship offer.
Very cool. Lots going on. Appreciate David's time. Always with some great insight, and you can follow him on Twitter as well with the latest information there. 3:49, we'll take a quick timeout back to wrap up the gym class for Tuesday next here on KGYM.
Save on your next project with 11% off everything at Menards. Light up your garage or workspace with Patriot Lighting. Whether you have a small room or a full-size garage, with Menards' great selection of utility lighting, you're sure to find the right light for your workspace. All utility lighting is 11% off now at Menards. Good through June 26th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
And we're back at 3:50. The gym class starting to wind down here for a Tuesday. 319-366-1600. Appreciate the interaction all afternoon long with both Spencer on sports and right here on the gym class. Scott is back tomorrow. And Todd and Alex are in between 4 and 6. Spencer on sports back tomorrow with yours truly between 2 and 3. If you haven't checked us out, you missed today's show. We had Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News talking NBA draft from the collegiate perspective. I had a good conversation with Mike. He's very gracious with his time for all of our programs. His Spencer on Sports debut was earlier today, and I think it went well. I guess we'll find out if he agrees to come back on the show at a later date, Mark. But
good segment, Spencer. Good segment.
His podcast, the podcast with Mike. Is available at KGYMRadio.com, as will be the podcast of this show from today when we're off the air. Todd and Alex in here between 4 and 6. Their podcast available at KGYMRadio.com. Poll question, Mark, we did not get to it yet today, but it has to do with Keegan Murray in the NBA draft. And I think David kind of weighed in on the poll question as part of his conversation with us. Poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Will Keegan Murray be the first Big Ten player selected in this year's NBA draft? Yes or no? And it's going to be interesting to see. A lot of mock drafts of Jaden Ivey being the first Big Ten player taken. But if what David's insight has from his friends and colleagues at 24/7 Sports comes true, with maybe a team like Portland trading up, maybe we are talking about Keegan Murray as the number one Big Ten player off the board in the NBA draft on Thursday.
Yeah, it's going to be Ivy or Murray. No question about it. I've seen Ivy as high as 3.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we don't know about trades and whatnot. We'll see how it plays out on Thursday. And we'll have that draft for you right here on KGYM.
Yes, indeed. 6 o'clock, they have the draft pre-show from ESPN Radio. First pick is set to be about 6:30, the info we have from ESPN Radio. And they will have every pick. So if you want to listen to the official audio, Commissioner Adam Silver making the draft announcement, plus all the analysis for all the picks and just Keegan Murray's pick. You can tune it in to all of our frequencies coming up on Thursday. So looking forward to that coming up later on this week. We'll have more previews of that coming up throughout the afternoon here throughout the rest of the week, and reaction and analysis, I should say, coming up on Friday.
Again, there's a big watch party scheduled out at Prairie High School, the alma mater of Keegan and Chris Murray. It starts at 6 o'clock in the Commons area out there on the college community campus. And I suspect there'll be more than a few people there.
Would imagine so. There's going to be quite a few people there, a lot of people watching on TV and listening, hopefully here on KGYM as well. On a baseball note, Mark, we did not mention, but the Cedar Rapids Colonels, your first half division champs, they are still in town. Another 6-game homestand starts tonight. The West Michigan Whitecaps are in town. The high A affiliate of the Detroit Tigers are in town. After the Reds were in town, the baby Reds were in town with the Dayton Dragons last week, The West Michigan Whitecaps are in town for a six-game series. Game one tonight at 6:35 out at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Colonels, certainly fun to watch. First half division champs, they will be in the playoffs. I'm interested to see how long this this hot streak can last, because they are obviously one of the best teams in the Midwest League. You know there's going to be some call-ups. There already have been some call-ups, but see how first half compares to second half for Cedar Rapids. It's always kind of always intrigues me when you follow any type of baseball, but especially in the minor leagues, you have players moving up, players moving down. Something's got to give at some point. Not saying that, you know, all of a sudden things aren't going to go well for them, but be interesting to see if they can keep it up for two full season, or a full season, two full halves of a season.
On another note, did you see, Spencer, the reported ticket prices for the Field of Dreams game next month between the Colonels and Quad Cities?
I thought I saw our buddy Jeff Johnson from the Gazette talking about that on Twitter. Let me guess, it's not cheap.
$65 to $85.
$65 to $85
for a Class A game,
a High A game at the Field of Dreams. I could see those same two teams play at Veterans Memorial Stadium or at Modern Woodman Park in the Quad Cities for like $20 total for two, probably.
But you can't see them at the Field of Dreams.
That is true. That is true. I'm not trying to poo-poo the Field of Dreams at all. It's a special place to see a game. We knew they were going to be pricey.
Like a lot, man.
Yeah. It's now here's the other. Do you have to enter a lottery to buy them, like you have to do for the Cubs and Reds, which everyone is so excited about? Is there a lottery involved?
You're a comedian, man, aren't you?
In all honesty, and I'm not saying this to stir the pot or to be a troll, I would rather go see the Colonels and River Bandits play as opposed to the Cubs and Reds.
Better value, huh?
Just putting it out there.
I don't know how the Colonels and Quad City tickets work, but I just saw the rumored prices, and man, that's a lot.
It is for a minor league game. Will it sell out? I think that is the next question I have. I might have a cynical tone to my voice, but I am definitely, I would like to go. I think it would be fun. Do I want to pay $65 to $80 for it? No. I would go see if someone offered me tickets to the Cubs and Reds at Field of Dreams, I would go. I know I had a cynical tone earlier, but I would go if someone offered me tickets. I think it would be fun. Will the quality of baseball be there? Probably not. But
I'm with you on all the above.
Yes. Mark, thanks as always. We will we'll catch up down the road. Been good working with you for the last couple days.
Absolutely, Spencer. Thank you.
Mark Duke's joining me on the Gym Class. Scott Unash back tomorrow. Todd and Alex in here between 4 and 6. They've got the aforementioned Jeff Johnson joining him at 5 today. Also, Zach Mackey, the newest voice of Virginia Tech men's basketball. If you've missed that on Twitter, Zach Mackey joining Va Tech. They'll have Zach joining him at 4:30. That and more coming up between 4 and 6. Have a great rest of the day. Todd and Alex are up next.